Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
James chapter 2, verses 18 to 26. Let's go. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So we title this, "Show Me Your Faith." Show me your faith. James chapter 2. James the apostle emphasizes the fact that if there is faith, you will see some proofs that faith is present. Jesus always wanted to be sure that people had faith before he ministered to them. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 28 to 30, two blind men came to Jesus and wanted healing. Let me read it. Matthew chapter 9 from verse 28. It says, "And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened." The first question was, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Jesus wanted to know whether people had faith or not. And you remember the account of what happened in his hometown, where he could not do miracles. That's Mark chapter 6 from verse 5. It says, "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." Verse 6, "And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuit teaching." Faith activates the power of God. Faith activates God's grace. God's grace is God's gift or God's act of benevolence. If you want to see God in operation, if you want to see miracles, if you want to see the power of God giving people what they don't have the power to get on their own, or doing for people what they don't have the power to do for themselves, faith has got to be involved. Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's faith. So Jesus always wanted to be sure that people had faith. You can tell whether you have faith or not. So, James the Apostle is saying, faith without works, without some proofs, is dead faith. You want to show me your own faith without works? I can only show you my faith through my works. He said, because faith without works is dead. In verse 20 there, one translation of the Bible says, faith without corresponding action is dead. In the last verse, verse 26 in the Message Bible, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. It is only a corpse. Faith that is not producing some action in you, some attitude in you, is dead faith. Faith can't operate without some physical proof, some show in the attitude, in the actions, in the words of the person that has the faith. So tonight, I want us to pick some of those proofs of faith. When faith is present in the person, you will see these characteristics. They are not all, but there are some. The first one, joy and praise. Joy and praise. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, you have the classic case of someone who had everything working against him, but because he had faith, it impacted on his attitude. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Amen. So they weren't just words. It was a song. Now, you couldn't have it worse than this as a business person. Business in those days was farming. Here was a farmer. He had crops, he had livestock. Everything went haywire. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, nothing worked. Nothing was growing. Nothing was bringing forth crops for him. Then he turned to the animals. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to get excited. Amen. Yeah. Because faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence? What's the proof that you have faith, if not your attitude? What's the proof that you know the end from the beginning? If you know that you know that you know that you know that God has never lied and is not going to lie in this instance. If God already told you, because faith is God saying it before you see it. If it is absolutely certain, okay, then it means that the whole scenario is going to end in joy, isn't it? Since it's going to end in joy, why can't I borrow out of some of that joy and enjoy it now? Amen. Yeah, that's what faith does for the man or woman of faith, because the end is already determined. And you can go into the future. That's why God gave you an imagination. You can go into the future. You can play the whole scenario. You can play the scenario of your wedding ceremony. You can play the scenario of the naming ceremony. You can play the scenario of your housewarming with everything landlord or landlady is doing to you. You can't, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Why would the Bible compare the two? It's a choice. One is a physical sight, the other one is a spiritual sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen. That's what we have here, isn't it? But are the things which are not seen. The ones that are seen are temporary. The ones that are not seen are eternal. Ultimately, they prevail. They're coming to pass. So in my imagination, I can travel therefore into the future because I can see it with the eye of my spirit. I can borrow some of the joy and bring it now. The mom says, I'm not going to delay my joy. I'm not going to delay my praise until it happens. If I'm going to wait until it happens before I'm happy, that's not faith. Faith is acting as if it is so, when it seems not to be so. For it to be so, because it is so. It is so. It is so. It's acting as if it is so. So, one of the proofs of faith is joy. James chapter 1 from verse 2. James 1 from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then verse 3 begins, knowing that the testing of your faith is going to produce something good, isn't it? And so count it all joy then. That's what makes the difference between a Christian and somebody else. That's what makes the difference between the person who has faith and the one who doesn't. That in the midst of trial, you can be joyful. You can be singing. Hallelujah. Things are not working for you. You are singing, my miracle has started. And then somebody thinks, yeah, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. This is spiritual. Amen. You are on God's frequency when you are walking by faith. Joy is one of those things that show that you have faith. So we have Romans chapter 4 verse 20, where the Bible says that Abraham was giving glory to God. His body was dead. His wife's body was dead. They had no physical capacity to give birth to a child, but the Bible said that he was giving glory to God. And in the Living Bible, it says that he praised God as if it had already happened. Hallelujah. Yes. It was very tough today, isn't it? In our city, in terms of transportation. Yeah. You know, because I remember those days when I want to walk, when I used to walk on the streets in this city, you know, I didn't have a car and all that. And the spiritual reality was too much in my spirit. So there was no opportunity for sadness. I saw someone looking at me some weeks ago in my car, you know, and he didn't know who was in the car. He was just seeing the car. The look on his face, an elderly man, was like... he obviously wasn't happy. See someone driving that kind of a car. I understand. I've been there. You know, when you work so hard, you try, and then you see someone. So you wonder, what did they do that I didn't do? So it's so easy to look at them and say, holy. That's a thief. That's a thief. You know? How do you get that kind of a thing legitimately? Give me by. Okay? But we're still going to come to that, because what's in the heart is what's going to come out, isn't it? I didn't have that in my spirit. When I saw somebody driving a fine car, I was happy. Yes. Because the fact that somebody had it was proof that it was possible. And if God is not a respecter of persons, if he's not partial, and they don't have two heads, my own is coming. My own is coming. So, I remember then, you know, I'll just blurt out. In this Lagos, we will ride these fine cars together. You know, and I'll continue on my Legedis Benz. You have faith, you will have joy, and you will be praising God in the midst of lack, in the midst of difficulty, Amen. The second thing I see is dedication to God. Dedication. When someone has faith, it's just remarkable how when things are getting hot for people who are not close to God, they run to church. And then sometimes for people who have been in church, when things begin to heat up around them, that's when they run away. I find it difficult to understand that. Job, if anybody had cause to be angry with God and to doubt God, it was Job. Job chapter 2. I pick it from verse 6. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." That's good news, isn't it? Satan has boundaries. Satan has boundaries. He can't just take you out anyhow. God allows. In this instance, God was bragging about Job. That's why Job went through all that he went through. Verse 7, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a pot's hand with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Curse God. And end everything. Woo. In other words, we can find ourselves in circumstances that can make us to doubt God himself. Jump to Job chapter 13, verse 15. Hear what Job said. Job 13 and verse 15. Are you there? If you're there, let's read it together. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Amen. Though he slay me. Now, the mistake he was making was he thought it was God. In those days, everything that happened, people believed it was God. Many people in the environment still have that concept of predestination. You know, I'm over alone. It's Allahyada. In our different languages here, it's the way it was written. It's the way it's been written. It's you see, somebody is going mad. You know, he's walking naked on the road. They say, that's Kadara. That's his destiny. That's how he chose it before he was born. What kind of nonsense is that? Except if he was crazy from heaven. That's how he could have chosen that as his destiny. Excuse me. That doesn't align with the concept of destiny in the Bible. Romans 8, you know, you read from verse 28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow." See, God knew you before you were born. Them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Every human being was designed to be like Jesus Christ. And those whom he foreknew, them he called. Whom he called, them he justified. That's verse 30. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Glory, it's only glory that is in the destiny that God designed for you. My pastor would say that he didn't say those whom he justified, them he shamified. There is no shame in your destiny. Amen. Amen. Only glory. Okay? So, people used to believe that whatever happened, it was God. Job believed it was God that was hurting him, and he didn't understand why God would hurt him that much. He said, but whichever way it goes, even if God himself has now decided to be shifty or not to be, I'm not shifty. I'll still put my trust in him. In other words, he believed it. Somehow he didn't understand what was going on, but he knew God was faithful. There was nowhere else to go. Absolute, total dedication to God. When someone really, really has faith, they don't keep God as one of the options. Too many people running all over town these days, looking for shortcut fixes. Where else will you go? Remember somebody saying several years ago, I want to go to a place where there is, you know, because I'm going through a lot of problems. I know God called me to this job, but I want to go to a place where there's a lot of fire to consume all the things that are disturbing me. I said, excuse me, God is everywhere. In every church that is God ordained, that is standing. I said, people are getting miracles. When you run away from where God called you to go, that's when you have a problem. Jesus told the man, go to the pool of Siloam, wash there 7 times. If he went to another river, he would have come back blind. Elisha told Naaman, go down to the river, wash 7 times. You'll be healed of leprosy. The man was arguing and was, you know, giving a recipe for curing leprosy. He said, I thought that the man would come out, look up to heaven, call on God, strike the place and heal the leper. I thought the man, and he was angry. So, if I was there, I would have said, oh, General Naaman, so you knew how to heal leprosy. You knew that somebody is supposed to come out, then look up to heaven, then call on God, then strike the place. You didn't strike the place in your country. You came all the way. You have a long way to go. Simple instruction. Obey. If you have faith, it's not in the time of trial that you will now abandon God and turn him into one of the options. If you really, really have faith. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. In our times of trials, people come up with all kinds of options, all kinds of suggestions. I know someone somewhere who can help you. I know someone somewhere who gave somebody this. Anyone that anybody knows anywhere that is not God is fake. They're about to take you off course. Hebrews 11 from verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. God told someone, in your seed, and it was this Isaac, all your descendants will be blessed. The same God now said, take the knife and cut his neck. Said, this man believed in God so much. He had no other option. He believed in God so much, he took the knife. He was going to cut the boy's throat because he believed that God would raise him back to life. That's faith, sir. Show me your faith. Faith without works is dead. Total and absolute dedication to God. Let's move on. If you have faith, you will show it through patience. If you have faith, you will show it through patience. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Do you have the capacity to wait for God? That's the big question. He who believes will not act hastily. It means that in Lagos, there may not be many people who believe. Because it's part of our culture to act hastily and aggressively and assertively. It's good to be assertive. But when you always believe or act as if someone is about to steal your opportunity, somebody is about to steal your chance, okay? And you can't wait for divine instruction, you're in trouble. Saul the king acted hastily because it seemed as if God was coming late. Samuel the prophet said, go up to Gilgal, wait for me. I'll come there and I will offer the sacrifice. Saul got there, the people were there, and Saul was afraid that he will lose control of the people. So because he didn't want to lose the approval of the people, he quickly offered the sacrifice because Samuel the prophet was not coming up on time. As soon as he was done offering the sacrifice, which was not his business because he was a king, he was not the prophet. As soon as he was done offering the sacrifice, Samuel arrived and said, Mr. Saul, what happened? He said, because I was afraid that the people might scatter, things may fall, God may become embarrassed. I'm trying to interpret it. Yes. For the person who is thinking, hey, the way this thing, will I ever marry? Hey, the way this thing is, hey. It's easy for the pastors to say it too, but hey. Somebody approached me once and said, it was January 1st. Or you know, we just had the service, New Year service, came outside, and the lady came up to me and said, Pastor Sam, I'm going to be 30 this year. I said, praise the Lord. She said, hey, if God doesn't do something this year, as if she was going to beat him up if he didn't do something. If God doesn't do something this year. Oh my God. Oh. He who believes will not act hastily. One of the proofs that you have faith is what? Patience. Ability to stay steady in the face of changing situations and circumstances. If it is God that said it, that devil has not yet been invented that can stop it from coming into fulfillment. So why would you frustrate the process by interfering with what God is doing and sometimes settling for less than the best has prepared for us? In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You know, Noah began the building of the ark when he was 500 years old. He completed it when he was 600. 100 years of waiting for rain, because God said rain will fall. Hallelujah. If you jump to verse 12, let's read from verse 12. Let me back up to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 first. Then I'll come back to 11. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, but you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, faith and patience are two sides of the same coin. If you have faith, you will have the capacity to wait. If you can't wait, you don't have faith. Amen? Yeah. If you truly have faith, and for you it's a done deal, you will wait. If you can't wait, then you don't have faith. So I'm back to Hebrews 11 from verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. When you walk with God, you can't always be reaching out for the past. Israel made that mistake. They were murmuring all through the wilderness. It's transition. And there are a number of people here tonight who are in that transition phase. You are not where you used to be, but you are not where you are going yet. And Satan then wants to taunt you and taunt you and taunt you. This faith thing, is it really working? This Christianity thing, is it paying you? This Bible you are carrying around, is it really, really working for you? It's working. Hallelujah. It's working. Jesus put mud on my eyes. I'm on the way to the pillar of Siloam. You met me midway. This is metamorphosis. You haven't seen anything yet. Hold on for me. This thing is going to pay me at the end of the day. There's no other way to go. Amen. Those who saw me many years ago, you know, when I was a young graduate, you know, and just boasting and bragging, I can never be poor the rest of my life. I'm going to the world. I'm a world champion. And I was jobless. And some thought, something's wrong with these young guys. They've been hypnotized. These young guys, yeah, that their pastor, sweet mouth. He's an orator. Don't mind them. If somebody approached me one day, an elderly person, I said, you know, some of us adults were discussing somewhere, and you know, somebody said, hey, somebody should go and tell those young guys that this man who rides on a motorbike that they are following all over the place, if they have anything to do with their destinies, they had better go find something else to do. Hallelujah. Anyone who said that before has swallowed his or her words now. Hallelujah. Anyone who has seen what God has provided cannot settle for now, cannot settle for less. They seek for a better country. Amen. Hallelujah. Patience is one of those proofs. Now, when we say patience, people think it's a passive thing. It means not doing anything. No, sir. Patience is an active word. And I'll never forget the day my friend told me that patience is like for you to sit on a chair and for them to remove the chair from under you and for you to maintain the same position. Hallelujah. How comfortable do you think that is? That's what it's like sometimes for you to hold on to your position, even when things are not working right. For you to continue to say the same thing you've been saying. To continue to see the same thing you've been seeing. To continue to trust God the way you've been trusting Him. But then it's just a matter of time. Hallelujah. The promise will be fulfilled. Anyway, let's move on. The fourth proof of faith, positive confession. Positive confession. Positive confession. If you believe it, you will say it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What you believe is what you confess. What you believe is ultimately what you say. If you really, really believe it, you will say it. Amen? What you believe is what you say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And with the heart, man believes. So your heart is the place where faith happens. It's a spiritual thing. What people say under pressure is what they really believe. When everything is normal, you can decide what to say consciously. When you are in trouble and you don't have the time to think, what you really believe will come out. Like a pastor I heard was preaching. You know, preaching was a very powerful message. You know, was swinging his hands and preaching. And just one of those times when he threw his hands up, the fan hit his hand. Because there was a fan right over his head, you know, that was rolling. And the fan just, wah! The man said, Shango! Shango? Hey! Pastor! On the pulpit, Shango, an idol. An idol. Hey! That's what I'm talking about. When you are in hot water, when they squeeze you, what is inside you is what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The connection between faith and your confession. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Hallelujah. Hey. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. Especially when the situation is contrary. Faith speaks. I heard that many years ago. My pastor was in a discussion. You know, and then he used to keep a job, a career job with a government agency. And he was having this discussion. It was one of his friends that said it. They were having this discussion in a room in the Lauren Quarren State. And, you know, all of a sudden, he just blurted out, never! I can never be poor. And that had nothing to do with the subject they were discussing. He was fighting battles in his mind. Something was trying to paint a picture to him that was contrary to the picture God had given him, and he dealt with it, casting down imaginations. Hallelujah. Never. I can never be poor. Faith speaks. If you believe it, you will say it. Romans 4:17 says that God raises the dead and calls the things which do not exist as though they did. Come on. That's what we're talking about. That's faith. Hallelujah. When I was a student in school, already a believer, in engineering class, I wrote on my notebooks, millionaire in training. Hallelujah. You think I regret that I did that? No. I was discovering spiritual principles. I had to put them to work. I was a student. I had nothing. I was living on some little allowances given me by my parents. But I had keyed into faith because faith had defined my future. That was what I saw. And I was bold enough to write it on my notebook so I could see it every day. I am a millionaire in trading. For the sake of the unbelieving, if I wrote millionaire, they would think I was crazy. It's okay. Millionaire in trading. Hallelujah. If you believe it, you will say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. I am free. Free from Satan. There is therefore now no condemnation for me who walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I have to say it before I see it. That's how it works in the school of faith. If you really believe it, you will say it. I am healed. I am healed. Why? Himself took my infirmities and carried all my sicknesses. Matthew 8:17, over 2,000 years ago. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin may live unto righteousness. For by his stripes you were healed. I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. Say so. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you really believe it, you will say it. If you can't say it, you don't believe it. The last proof of faith I'll touch on for today, corresponding action. Corresponding action. You remember where we read from James chapter 2, verse 20? Faith without works or without corresponding action is dead. Genesis 12, verse 1, God appeared to Abraham and said, depart from your country, from your relative, from everybody, to a land that I will show you. Then you read verse 4 of Genesis 12. It says, and Abraham departed. He left. Woo! Not and Abraham analyzed. That doesn't work with faith. Genesis 22, verse 1, God says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, take him to a mountain that I will show you, sacrifice him. Verse 3, and Abraham left. Took the boy, left. Made a move. Hebrews 11:7, which we read earlier on. I'll read it again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, about Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, did what? Moved with godly fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Only he and his family survived a worldwide catastrophe because he was doing something that did not make sense to everybody else. If you don't do it, you don't believe it. By faith, he moved. If you are not moving, you are not believing. By faith, he moved. Faith without corresponding action is dead faith. The big question is tonight, do you believe that you will be healed? Do you believe that you are healed? Do you believe that you are prosperous? It's very interesting because even people who don't know God have discovered that for people to acquire material prosperity, they need what they call prosperity consciousness. You couldn't have that consciousness better than when it is imparted into your spirit by God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love those people in Luke chapter 5 whose friend was paralyzed. And they said they carried him in a stretcher, because they knew where Jesus was. He was preaching in somebody's house. And they carried him in a stretcher and got to the house. And they said the place was packed out. There was no space through which to pass him in, not even the windows. Hey! Then the Bible says that they decided to climb on the roof. Amen? They went on the roof. Luke 5. Hallelujah. They climbed on the roof. You want to read it? We'll close with that. Luke chapter 5. Someone here tonight is ready. Let me put the grammatical construction this way. Somebody is already ready for a miracle. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20, when he did what? When he saw their faith. Amen. In other words, if God says, my blessing is in there, and I get there, and there is no door. But he said that my blessing is him there. I will get him. I will get him. It's either I find a way in or around, or I climb from the top, or I dig under. There is no point creating rules for yourself that nobody created. The big problem for the person who doesn't have faith is that they give up easily. They accept no for an answer. They take physical limitations to be equal to spiritual limitations. And the point is that sometimes you may see something physically, but because the spiritual is superior to the physical, what you see in the physical may be only a mirage. If you have faith, even though you see the obstacle physically, you will still walk towards it. What looks so strong, when you put a finger on it by faith, it can crumble within a short time. The wall of Jericho can come down. They said Jericho was walled up, it was sealed up, it was Nalai. When the man or woman of faith comes obeying God's instructions, the wall can fall down of its own accord. No one can put a full stop where God decided to put a comma. When you have faith, you keep moving. You keep moving. That was what God asked Israel to do. You saw the giants, keep moving. When you get there, their sword is longer than yours. Take that small one, swing it. Hallelujah. Israel died before they killed them. People who don't have faith die 1,000 times before they confront the enemy. The four lepers had faith. Well, let's go anyway, because that's the only place where there is food. And then the Bible says when they got there, there was nobody. What seemed to be there? All the people who were there. As these people took their small steps, lepers who didn't have toes, shuffling. The shuffling was enough for God to use. You have your toes complete, right? Just all God needed was do whatever you can do, but keep moving. The simple shuffling of feet by lepers, God put supernatural microphones by their feet and then put the loudspeakers over the camp of the enemy. They were hearing, they've gone to, when they took off, they threw the money, threw the clothes, threw everything that will make for the prosperity and the fulfillment of what God promised. They threw everything down and ran away empty and dead. When the lepers got there, there was nothing. Faith is more real than the reality of your situation. Your healing is more real than that symptom in your body. That's what I'm talking about. The spiritual is more real than the physical. And I know that for someone, the thing is so close. All you have to do tonight is reach out by faith. Take it. Amen. Take it. For someone, it's career. For someone, it's finances. But tonight, you are walking out of this place, breaking through every barrier. Amen. Breaking through every limitation. Amen. Defying every negative circumstance. Amen. And creating an atmosphere for God to step into your situation. Can we pray in the spirit a few minutes? Hallelujah. Shetaribo shushtika hate. Lemondre dushu friskita hale vegedisto. Shambo kushilo bra ake teribo shushtika pahaya. Mako shita rebro kitaya brekito korushti. Show me your faith by your works. Mengranto sun kalabayante. Reskita kapaya. I defy every natural reality to lay hold on the fulfillment of God's promises in my life. Be antrobushu krabeto kushiro brahante, basklo kushti kapaya. My family, shebro kasante kepro kushito. My destiny will be fulfilled in marriage. Greato kushiro brahante kaya kitorushta. I am free from sicknesses and diseases. Yemon to rubri sante leborus kitaka. Makredi kolubra ante visto. Shambeleto ruskirta aya big anto. Shameto ruski paale keterisken temeliko truyam brekita listo. Shamendro lusti. Mendra breate vegedrosti. Jebroshila ante kelito rusti kapaya. Ola dredujusti brahale vegedisto. Shametro justi brahale vederis. Geate remosto, praante velitra aya, rabos kutala brotu shinto aya vegedush, yelare ruskita kapaya, yemoshuta ribrahale kateri boshustin kapaya, yemoshti brahanke teribo rushita kapayas, yamoshte kelibro ante vegetrodush. As you pray in the Spirit, give your heart to the Holy Spirit. Let him paint a picture of your healing. Let him paint a picture of your breakthrough. With the Holy Ghost, miracles are possible. He can turn a desert into a fruitful field, into a forest within a short time. Biash to brushilanta kayan tredish. Ya brushila breketorus kitakapaya. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The power of the Holy Ghost is available. Yegedo shante rebro shushti krahate kelitos. You just connect the cable to the socket and turn the power switch on. The power of God is flowing through you tonight. Bro shi rebo sklaate kelebro shante lebo ruskita kapaya. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray over the communion. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we thank you. As we share the body of the Lord tonight, we identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus. We declare that we are crucified with Christ. That us that should have been sick, that should have been poor, that should have been oppressed, is dead. Buried by baptism with Jesus Christ. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead touches everyone who takes this communion tonight. Oh, the resurrection of Jesus was a miracle. It was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle. Therefore, we declare that the power of God shatters every barrier, destroys every sickness and every disease. Every mindset, amen. Every addiction, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead brings healing for our physical bodies, amen. And the restoration to every area of our lives, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for the blood shed on the cross of Calvary by Jesus. As we plead the blood of Christ tonight, we declare that our sins are forgiven. Amen. The blood of Christ cleanses away or washes away all our sins. Amen. We're free from condemnation. Amen. We're free from sin. Amen. We're free from all the consequences of sin. Amen. In this service tonight, for everyone who takes this communion, every curse is destroyed. Amen. The power of blessing finds manifestation. Amen. In our spirits and in our bodies. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.